God, we thank you because we see your hand at work. And we realize, Father, that when you promise that you will be with us, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's the promise we need to remember at those times when we're wondering what's going on. And that happened to a lot of people this week. A lot of us right here in this room with different things. And so we have to trust you. And we have to see your hand at work. And it is. We pray for Chris and Jennifer. And you know, Father, you know that an ending in you is just the beginning of something new. And you're going to just surround him and them with your grace and lead them forward. And Father, we thank you, just as you were with Jim this week and gave him that peace and carried him through. Father, we see your hand at work, and we're going to trust you in all things. We continue to pray for Bruce and pray that he will, you know, in all of this, in his great attitude towards this illness and towards the treatment, he will see your hand at work. Receive this day, Father. Let it be for your glory and honor above all else. That no matter what takes place in our lives, we're going to give you glory and honor in all things. Bless us to that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we basically, in our Sunday school time, in going through the story and getting into the time of Kings and Chronicles and all of that, have taken the history of Israel from the splitting of the kingdom all the way to the end. Okay, Judah didn't have that much recorded about the kings of Judah, because most of the time, for the most part, the kings of Judah around Jerusalem, with rare exception, they were mostly good guys. So the big drama that takes place all through Israel didn't really happen too much. And, you know, and I don't want to deal with it too much, because Habakkuk is about the end of Judah, you know, when Judah finally, you know, and then all ends, you know. So, but for the most part, up until the very end, a lot of good things happen. And there are just a few standout stories. And so one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament is the one, is a Judah story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Because we mentioned him a little bit in one of the stories about Ahab, because when Ahab was killed, remember in the story of Ahab's death, you know, evil King Ahab, he went into battle partnered with Judah, with Jehoshaphat, and he dressed like a common soldier and told everybody that Jehoshaphat was the king. And then as soon as the enemy saw that that was not Ahab, you know, then some random arrow took Ahab out, you know. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. He was a good guy. You know, he was a good guy. So we're going to be in chapter 20, and we're just going to, I'm going to go through the story a little bit, and I think there's just so much good stuff here that we need to see. In chapter 20, it says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, and came to fight against Jehoshaphat. And you know, if you can picture or see in your back of your Bible, you know, the you know, like Dr. Nichols was talking last week about Israel, you know, and you see the Mediterranean, and right at the end of the Mediterranean, Israel, and all of these people are the exact same people that are fighting against Israel today. Okay, the same people coming from the other side of the Dead Sea, the same Arab groups. You know, they were in Islam at that time, but they were still the same river people fighting against Israel. Same group, same cultures. We want to make sure we get that. And they had decided they were going to come together against Judah because they had been after the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah and Israel, you know, since its inception. People came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast multitude from beyond the Dead Sea and Edom have come to fight against you. They are already then they give this name, which is called En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he resolved to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. So Jehoshaphat gets told, you know, every Arab from as far as you could see is coming to get you. You know, and that's about it. And so he decides he's going to seek the Lord, and he sends out a call. And people from every city in Judah come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord, because they were as vastly outnumbered then as they are now. You know, as vastly outnumbered then as they are now. So he resolves he's going to seek the Lord, and he's going to fast and proclaim a fast for all of Judah and do that. So right off the bat, here we see, you know, he's faced with this, and the first thing he does, he resolves to seek the Lord. Write that down. That's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing when we're faced with it. The first thing we need is to seek the Lord. Then he gets this whole mass multitude of people from every city of Judah there. And he goes to the temple before the new courtyard there, and he prays so everybody can hear. So in the silence of this moment, when all these gathered people, they've been fasting probably for a number of days at this point, and now he's going to seek the Lord. And listen to what he says. Lord God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and who gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in the land and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, and have said, if disaster comes on us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before the temple and before you, for your name is in this temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver. Wow. That's what got Jim through his moment, you know. And I realize that the different versions word this differently, but I love this one. Oh, you know, here we're all here, God. You know what's coming. Are you not God? You know, I mean, that's, you got to realize. I mean, he's like, are you not the God who did this? Are you not the God who did this? You know, you have power. You are the might. You're the one who did this. And that is so powerful. And so he says, so we will come here. We are here, and we're going to cry out, and we know that you will hear. So now, here are the Ammonites and the Moabites and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and you did not let Israel invade them when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, but Israel turned away from them and did not destroy them. Look how they repay us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you gave us. This is, you know, we didn't do anything to them, but they're coming after us. Oh God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this vast multitude that comes to fight against us. What do we do not know what to do, but we look to you. Now, you know, if you highlight or underline in your Bible, there are some key things in here. You know, all the "are you not" lines are really good. But that last line of that prayer, how many times is that where we live? I mean, just look where we are. Look what God has done this week. Look at the stuff that's happening. Everything from Chris and Jennifer's situation to my situation to the preschool situation to other things that are going on. And here we are. We do not know what to do, but we look to you. That is a prayer, but it is also a statement of faith. You know, and it is very honest. And there's nothing wrong with coming before God and saying, God, I don't know, I mean, that's where I lived all weekend long. God, I have no idea what's going on here. You know, but I look to you. And so many times, that's where we live. And listen, it says, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and their children. So you have to realize that usually when they say all Israel came, it was the males who would come. But they brought their families. They knew their whole survival, everything depended on it. If God didn't do something, they were so outnumbered. And although the scripture doesn't go into it a whole lot, you're probably talking 25 to 1, you know, for their total population. that these guys brought their families, their babies, and are standing before the Lord in the temple with their wives and their children and their babies. It's like, here it is. This is all of us, you know, or none of us. And then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, and it tells who he is. And the Spirit of the Lord comes on one of the guys, and this is what the Spirit of the Lord tells them. Listen carefully, all of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Okay? Now, I underlined that line. Because we have to play, I'm a big connect the dots person. And we have to connect the dots between, are you not the God? And we have to connect that to, we do not know what to do, but we look to you. And then you connect the dot to, and this is what the Lord says. So that when we get to those places, we have to come back to what God says. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast multitude. Another line to underline. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I was telling Sherry out there that I was driving in this morning, and I got in my car, and it was already, by the end of the day, about midday, the car goes from the Christian station to the country station, you know. And so I'm, not paying much attention as I head up Bouquet to Plum. And I realize, why am I listening to this, you know? So I hit the Christian station, and with Jack Hayford. And Jack Hayford is talking. And I like Jack, you know. And I met him, and I like him. And the moment I hit, the first thing I hear is, we here at Church in the Way, we're, Pentecostal, that. I said, but I'm going to read you some things that don't have anything to do with being Pentecostal. So this is not a Pentecostal slant on things. This is not our take on it. I'm going to read you the commentaries on this verse from these guys. And some of them are even extremely what we would consider liberal. And he reads commentaries going back, some are 100 years old, about verses in 1 Corinthians and in Romans. And he describes, and even those who we would consider extremely liberal talk about the verses about strongholds and powers and principalities of the air, the arcane demonic forces at work in the world behind the scenes. And every one of them say the same thing, that there are these forces behind what's going on in government. Because we're watching it today. You're watching government and... here is right, here is wrong, here's the Bible, here's the Constitution, and here is what everybody's doing. How do we get from here to here? And he talked about even sometimes the people that he's talked to in Washington, in the powers that be, have an awareness that there's evil, there's things, forces going on behind the scenes, and it doesn't make any sense. And there are forces, demonic forces, trying to change the cultures and do things behind it, that what we see on one level is just the tip of the iceberg in a great spiritual battle. Fast forward to right here, right now. Do you not think there's a spiritual battle going on here? Wow. What did I do? The battle belongs to the Lord. We can't fight this. We can't do this. God has to do it. So the prophet says to him, he says, the battle belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. Tomorrow, go down against them, and you will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley facing the wilderness of Jewel. What they had was a big valley, and you had this vast multitude that are going to take the biggest valleys, so they can come up in force. And Jerusalem is high in the mountains, and he's saying, you just go down and you're going to see them coming. You're going to see them coming up the valley, this vast multitude of people. And then once you go down there, but he says, you go down and you can see them coming, but you do not have to fight this battle. There's another line to underline. You do not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. Now, connect the dots. Ephesians chapter 6. Stand in the Lord. You know, pray. And when everything is done, stand. He calls us to stand. Our spiritual warfare isn't fighting the battle, it's standing there praying. And play connect the dots. We got to get that. He, in another line to underline, he is with you. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid to discourage. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. So the prophet, so God speaks immediately. Says, you go, you just go. You take everybody, you go out and face them. But you're not going to fight this battle. You take everybody, you can see them coming. You're going to see it. You go, but you don't have to fight the battle. Don't be afraid, discouraged. You just go stand and you watch. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshipped him. That is always a good response. You know. Then the Levites from the sons of the Kohites and the whatever stood up to praise the Lord and God and shouted in a loud voice. You know, they all bowed down and knelt before the Lord. They all stood up and started shouting and praising God. They were all excited. In the morning they got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they were about to go out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, "Hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." So he reminds them, okay, guys, you got to believe in the Lord. We're going to go out. You got to believe in the Lord. You believe what the prophet said. Remember what you heard, okay? Then he consulted with the people, and he appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. And they went out in front of the armed forces, and they kept singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithfulness endures forever." Now, if you go back into the book of Psalms, you'll find any number of psalms where that line shows up. In fact, there's one psalm where every, you know, it's a chant, and there's a line, and the next line is, "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithfulness remains forever." And there's another line, and you know, so they're singing probably that psalm. Okay, now hear this: the moment they began their shouts and their praises, the Lord set ambush against the Ammonites, Moabites, inhabitants of Mount Seir came to fight against Judah, and they were defeated. They turned against each other and destroyed each other, basically. The moment they get out there on the hillsides and they're looking down, and the moment the choir leads the army, and the moment they start to sing praise, God sets the ambush and the enemy turns upon itself. I think there's a correlation in those words. Yeah, we're going to sing this forever. You know, this is, you know, and what's funny is, this was the next Sunday school message. You know, the moment in those times in our life when God has to, and look how many times he told them, "Don't be afraid, the battle's mine, not yours. Don't be discouraged, don't be afraid." And he tells us over and over again, "Don't be afraid, I'm with you, don't be afraid, I'm with you, don't be afraid, I'm with you." But nothing happens until they stand and praise. See, it's not enough to just not be afraid. There has to be an action of praise and an action of faith. Because as soon as they started singing, that's when all the stuff took place. Not before. And when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were corpses lying on the ground. Nobody had escaped. these three or four armies that had bounded together to destroy Israel literally killed themselves, destroyed each other, and there was nothing but corpses as far as your eye could see. Then Jehoshaphat and his people went to gather the plunder, and they found among them an abundance of goods on the bodies and valuable items. They stripped them and nobody could carry anymore. They were gathering plunder for 3 days because there was so much. They assembled in the valley of Bekara on the fourth day, and there they praised the Lord. Wow. Then all the men of Judah and Jerusalem turned back with Jehoshaphat at their head, and returning joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord has enabled them to rejoice over their enemies. They came into Jerusalem into the Lord's temple with harps and lyres and trumpets. And the terror of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And then Jehoshaphat's kingdom was quiet, for he gave them rest on every side. You've heard of the calm before the storm? God flips that. The storm comes before the calm. We just have to make sure we work through the connecting the dots. Are you not God? We do not know what to do, but we will turn to you. And we don't need to be afraid. This battle belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to us. And then we're going to stop, and we're going to praise and worship, and we're going to trust. We're not going to be afraid, but we're also going to praise. And that's when God works. And then we come back to him in praise and thanks. That's important too. We have to come back to him. Think of Jesus healing the 10 lepers, and he says, go to the temple and reckon, you know, and as you and tell the priests that you were healed, and they weren't healed yet, so they start walking to the temple to and as they're walking they get healed. They have to take this act of faith. So as they're walking they're healed. One of them comes back and thanks Jesus, and Jesus is going, where's the other guys? You know, I wondered if they were still healed when they got to the temple. See, this is such a great story. And there used to be a chorus we sang in youth group, you know, great, you know, it used to be a saying that, in fact, it was almost derogatory. You know, people did this exclamation back in the 1800s, great jumping Jehoshaphat. You know, I can remember my grandpa saying that, great jumping Jehoshaphat. Why would they say that? Because Jehoshaphat was singing and dancing before the Lord, and the Lord was fighting the battle. Now, they did not have to fight the battle, but they did. That doesn't mean they did nothing. Doesn't mean they were passive. Doesn't mean they weren't involved. They went to the temple. They fasted before the Lord. They sought the Lord. They heard what the Lord said to them through the prophets. They did what the Lord told them to do through the prophets. Yeah, you know. And then when he said, okay, when Jehoshaphat decided, okay, we're going to do this, but we're going to put the choir out in front, you know. My Irish-Scottish heritage really comes into play here, because when the United Britain, when Scotland and all of them became part of the United Kingdom and they were all sort of together, I remember how many movies you've seen this in a lot of movies, and I remember seeing it. You know, even Tim was watching Braveheart, not Braveheart, Last of the Mohicans the other day, when the British Army would go march, the bagpipers would be in front. Now I know how people respond to bagpipe. It's my heritage. I'm Celtic, okay? You know, it's my heritage. You know, and because we had the Irish girl and the Scottish guy in my heritage that married each other, both there. And I love bagpipes. So can you imagine, you know, having the British Army marching up the road towards you in battle, and you got 100 bagpipers? That's some noise, you know, and that would scare you to death. And that had a psychological, it was for a reason, it had a psychological effect. But Jehoshaphat, that's not it. He puts the choir out front, and they just start singing. And as soon as they start praising, Nobody told him to do that. The prophet did not say to do that. See, that was his initiative. Let's put the singers out there in the front, and you guys just sing. This is what I want you to sing. That psalm, you know, the one that has that refrain, every other line is, you know, great is life, you know, says, you sing that. You guys sing this, you guys sing that. This is Jehoshaphat himself. And as soon as they start singing, God takes over and the battle is done. Wow. Music has no power, you know. Because music is an expression of their heart. And they were singing praise before the Lord. You know, being told over and over again, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. It's okay. Don't get discouraged. The battle's not yours. God's going to take care of it. This is okay, then we're going to sing. Wow. What a picture. You know. Now, I understand that singing doesn't always, you know, I mean, I listen to country music. And country music is music. It's all of the heart. And, you know, some of it is, you know, some of it's downright awful. Some of it's, you know, picking up women in bars, and some of it is picking up guys in bars, and but some of it is very heartfelt and very moving. And we read what we want. We proformize it, or whatever that word is. We read human emotions into everything that's going on around us. I was teasing Kathy last week. We've been talking about this laughing because she'll wake up and go, oh, listen to the birds sing. They're so happy. Listen to the birds sing. And I said, no. You don't get it. The birds aren't singing. They're screaming because they're afraid of heights. So you'll never hear birds the same again. It's all. I know it's bad. You're going to go out there and you're going to hear a bird go. See, music has that effect. Music, powerful. Music is powerful. That's. Yeah. You learn things through music. That's why we sing first. You know. And this battle with Jehoshaphat is a great example of that. So, this took place historically. Three thousand years ago would be a good estimate. Now, today, 3,000 years later, Israel is in existence. The same groups of people are coming against Israel. They're outnumbered by the same ratio. And Israel has to choose whether they're going to trust the Lord or not. You know, there's Prophecy Sunday last Sunday right there in a nutshell. And the enemy is coming against all of us in a whole variety of different ways. And God's message has not changed. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I am with you. The battle is mine, not yours. Just trust, worship, and praise. Do what you need to do. They had to do things. But they didn't have to fight the battle. The battle's in prayer. Okay? Father, we get ready for church this morning. We want to stand with Jehoshaphat. And we want to stand in praise. No matter what. We trust you. You have promised to be with us. You've told us not to be afraid. Even when we come to you, as Jehoshaphat did in prayer, and says, we don't know what to do, but we turn to you. How many times have we been there, Lord, where we don't know what to do, but we turn to you because you have our back. And that, Father, as long as we trust you and praise you and do things in our life for your glory, you will guide and guard and protect and lead and give victory. Bless us to that, we pray in Jesus' name.